Good morning. It's a blessing to be with you today, especially if you're a visitor. We're glad that you're with us this morning. I just want to say that it's been such a blessing to me to be with you these past several months and to be able to get to know each of you and to be able to say that Crandall is one of my church families. And I just want to say that I love each of you, and I'm going to miss you when I leave this week to move to Clyde. And I just want you to know that you will continue to be in my thoughts and in my prayers. And I'll be back to visit, so, I mean, it's, you know, I'll see each of you again. One of my favorite devotional songs is entitled "Here in This Place," and the opening line says, "Lay your burden down, every care you carry, and come to the table of grace, for there is mercy. Come just as you are, we are all unworthy to enter the presence of God, for He is holy." Come to the table of grace, for there is mercy. There are few words that provide a greater sense of calm and security in the heart of a Christian than the word grace. Perhaps that word turns your mind to the cross. Jesus gives Himself willingly, fully, and freely for you and for me. Maybe you think about one of His final words where He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Grace is a beautiful concept for you and for me because it means that God loved us so much and He still wants us. But sometimes there's a temptation to only think about grace from a vertical perspective. Grace is something that God has done for me. But this morning, what I want us to think about is displaying that same love to those who are around us. Our text this morning comes from Luke chapter 7, if you'd like to be turning there. Luke chapter 7, and we're going to start reading in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Him to eat with him. And He went into the Pharisee's house and took His place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that He was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind Him at His feet, weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed His feet and anointed them with ointment. Jesus is invited into the home of a Pharisee, and his name is Simon. As Jesus is in the house and He is reclining at the table, there is a woman who comes to Him bringing an alabaster flask of ointment. We don't know very much about this woman. We don't know where she was from. We don't know who her parents were. The one thing that the Bible says is that she was a sinner. Now, each of us falls short of God's glory. We all sin. But this woman was a person who had distinguished herself as openly breaking God's law. Most likely, she was a prostitute. I can only imagine how scary it must have been for this woman to leave her place of residence and make the journey to the house of Simon. She must have known how the Pharisees viewed women like her. She must have known that she wasn't going to receive a warm invitation from Simon. I can only imagine that as she was walking to where Simon's house was, that her breathing was shallow, her pulse was quickened. What if I'm not wanted there? What if I go to knock on the door and I say, I want to be where Jesus is, and then he says, you can't come into my house. It must have been a scary thing for her to go to where Jesus was, but nevertheless, she knew that she learned that Jesus was reclining at Simon's house, and she decides to go where Jesus is. And I don't know about you, but to me, this is one of the most tender scenes in the Bible. She approaches the Lord, and she has this flask of ointment, and what does she do? First, it says that she stands behind him. And then, with her tears, she's weeping. She began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. We don't know what drove this woman to a life of open sin. Perhaps it was an abusive father. Or maybe it was a mother who was cold and unfeeling. We don't know her background. But what we do know is that for the first time in her life, she is with someone who truly loves her. She's with Jesus. And suddenly, all of those walls are torn down. Tears are streaming down her cheeks. Maybe you have had a similar experience. Perhaps you were an alcoholic for many years, and there was a point in time where you didn't think you were ever going to be able to feel the way that you did before. But then, you saw Jesus for who He was, and those walls, they came down. Or maybe you were known for lashing out at your friends and your family, and it made you so ashamed of yourself to feel angry all the time. And you were angry with everyone around you, but even more so, you were angry with yourself. And you didn't know how you could ever let go of that. But then, you had an encounter with someone who changed everything. You met Jesus. And for the first time in your life, you realized that it was okay to let that go, because you were with someone who truly loved you and wanted you and valued you. This is where this woman is. She's broken. She's beaten down by life. She's willing to go to someone's house. She wasn't invited there. She didn't get a dinner invitation. Simon didn't say, "Oh yeah, this woman who's a sinner, I want her to come for dinner." No, of course not. She just knew that that's where the Savior was, and that's where she had to be. Jesus wanted her there. But not everyone did. Verse 39. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner." Simon says, "It's very clear to me that Jesus is not a prophet, because if he were a prophet, then he would know that this woman is worthless. But Jesus is letting this woman touch him, so he must not be a prophet. He doesn't realize." I guess you could sort of say Simon's giving Jesus the benefit of the doubt. He's thinking, well, Jesus looks like a good guy here. He knows some things, and he must just not realize what kind of woman is touching him. But you know what? Jesus did know what kind of woman was touching him. And he knew what kind of thoughts Simon was entertaining. "Simon," Jesus says, "I have something to say to you." A beautiful thing is occurring. A woman who is broken and beaten down, she comes to Jesus. She's washing his feet with her tears. She's drying them with her hair. What could be more beautiful and humbling than that? But Simon, he's unfeeling, he's cold, he's calloused. He doesn't see the beautiful act of service that she is rendering to Jesus. He just says, "She's not worth it." And Jesus says, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he tells him a little story. He says, "A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When he could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Jesus, through this story, is giving Simon a little clue. He's about to elaborate on that. He says, Simon, which of these individuals will love more? The one with the smaller debt or the one with the larger? Simon can see the sense in that. And he says, well, it's the one with the larger amount. Jesus says, you're right. Verse 44, then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven loves little. Jesus says, Simon, I came into your house and you didn't receive me in love. You didn't offer me the normal greetings that were expected. But this woman, she's done all of those things for me. Simon? You look at this woman and you think she's worthless. But she's not. She's precious to me. You think that you have superior love, but you're fooling yourself. Simon, this is your house. And you haven't welcomed me in and made me to feel at home. But this woman, she traveled in and was willing to do all of the things that you were unwilling to do for me. Simon, this woman, she's going to go home justified. She's going to go home cleansed and purified and sanctified because she loves me, because she believes in me. I still want her. And you know what? The truth is that Jesus, he wanted Simon too. He doesn't want Simon to continue in his unloving lifestyle. An important question for us this morning. Which of these characters do we identify with? Perhaps it's the woman. Maybe you are broken and beaten down by a lifestyle that is causing you a great amount of grief. And you just want to be where Jesus is. And maybe there are people in your life that are trying to pull you down and they don't want you to be there. They're kind of fulfilling that Simon role. They're discouraging you from making good decisions, discouraging you from obeying the gospel, discouraging you from being active with a congregation. Just know that Jesus loves you. He wants you, and He can do amazing things with your life if you will go to where He is. Now this leaves two characters, Simon and Jesus. Now I'm sure most of us want to relate to Jesus in this story, right? Because He's gentle and loving and kind, and He's accepting, and that's how we want to be, right? Of course, that's the name that we wear as a Christian.
disciple who's following him. But isn't there a temptation at times to take on the heart of Simon? Do we ever treat people in our churches in the way that this woman was treated? Does that happen? When I was in high school, there was a member of our congregation who I will call Alex. Alex had a rocky road that led him to our congregation. He owned one of the restaurants in town, and his wife was a middle school teacher in our town. She was actually my teacher when I was in middle school. Alex was unfaithful to his wife, and she divorced him. Now, Parsons is a small town, and the news was rather shocking for the community because his infidelity was with members of the same gender. Okay. Alex visited a lot of congregations, and the resounding response is, or was, "You're not welcome here." Thankfully, our congregation did promote a loving environment, and he came to us and he felt welcome, and he put on Christ at baptism and was a member there for many years, or for several years. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, well, you know, I would accept someone like Alex just fine. And if so, then that's wonderful. That's the kind of heart that we should have. But isn't it true that each of us has at least one person that we have trouble viewing them in a loving way? Maybe that's someone who personally hurt us. Maybe there is a person that has deeply wounded you, and if they came walking through the doors this morning and they came forward and they wanted to be baptized, then we would maybe have mixed feelings about it. Or maybe the person that we have trouble viewing in a loving way is someone who has a different political idea. I know that we can get in heated conversations. No? Maybe. We can get heated conversations about differences, and maybe we would think, well, I'm glad you're becoming a Christian, but if you really want to be in, then you're going to have to change some political views first. Right? So all of us have our prejudices, and we can all take on the heart of Simon from time to time. But guess what? Jesus loves, he loves the characters like this woman, but he also loves the Simons too. He loves all of us. You know the song that I quoted at the very beginning? It says, "Come to the table of grace, for there is mercy." But my favorite line is, "Come just as you are. We are all unworthy to enter the presence of God." Why? Because He is holy. If you're here today, then you are unworthy, and so am I. But the beautiful thing about God's grace is that He says, "You know what? You're unworthy, but I still love you. And what I see is a precious son or a precious daughter, and I just want to be where you are." So if you want to be where God is today, if you have any need, we want you to come now as we stand and as we sing.
God's name.